Hello, everybody, and welcome to another installment of the Supermarcy.com audio reviews. I am your host, Marcy, Super Marcy, and joining me is the crazy boy who's terrible, Jermaine. Be Jermaine.
Yeah, I'm very terrible, Marshy.
And we also have Bond's lady. I don't know. I got no introduction for you, B. I'm sorry.
It's all right, Marcy. I'll just try to keep my eyes on your perfectly formed ass.
You could be Vespa B. There you go.
Her name is Harper. B. Harper. And last but not least, Innes. Christopher Innes.
It's not my fault, I'm from the bush.
That's what you always say. Getting closer, otherwise but you can't be recorded. For those listening, we've got myself, Chris, and Bede in the one location, and B is joining us on Skype, so shenanigans as always. We are here to discuss, if you hadn't already guessed, the latest installment of the Bond franchise, Spectre, the 24th Bond movie. It started, what was the year of the first one? 64?
Two.
No, 62. And if anyone knows Bond, it's me, because last, like, 4 or 5 days, I've pretty much watched all of them in order. Leaving out the spoof and
never say never again
because I've never seen it and I don't care to. And I did this, of course, in the lead up to Skyfall, but it was a bit more crazy because I think I started Dr. No like last Thursday and then From Russia with Love, and then I was like, oh, wait, I've only got like 4 days to watch the rest. So, yeah, pretty crazy. And yeah, that's my story. Yes, but we're all here to discuss Spectre, the latest movie. Quick note, it only just came out in Australia, but I think it's been out in the UK for a couple of weeks already.
Yeah, I think about a week or so, yeah.
Yeah, so we got it a little bit later. And I'll go over the plot from IMDb, because that's how we roll. There's a few synopses, but I'll just read the shortest one. Written by Anonymous. A cryptic message from Bond's past sends him on a trail to uncover a sinister organization, while M battles political forces to keep the Secret Service alive. Bond peels back the layers of deceit to reveal the terrible truth behind Spectre. If you're any kind of Bond fan, you would already be quite familiar with Spectre. If you're one of those fans who's kind of more newer, maybe you don't. But in the film series, in the book series, Spectre is kind of a big deal. In the very early films with Sean Connery, they're very prevalent in those films. So this is a new movie that, well, I mean, in the newer set of, like, the Daniel Craig ones, that I think feels more like a more pure Bond film in a way, that it kind of is quite a bit of a throwback to those earlier movies, kind of mix it up with a bit of From Russia, Thunderball type of thing going on. So that's like how I felt. It's something I think it makes the Daniel, without spoiling it, it sends the Daniel Craig movies kind of full circle, and I guess it gives reason for Quantum of Solace to actually exist. But it definitely has got that feel of what a Bond movie is about in a way, how it's meant to feel. I think it feels like the Bondiest one next to Skyfall. And I'm rambling, so if B wants to share her thoughts, because the boys can't decide who wants to go next. Oh, before we continue, I might add, I mean, I don't know if we'll do spoilers or not, but if we do, just say it. But, I really like the cast, and I gotta say, Batista was awesome. He was a throwback to the almost traditional non-speaking kind of side villain, like Jaws or Odd Job. Yeah. Okay, B. Sorry.
All right. Well, first thing is first. I must confess something. I have a very, shall we say, complicated relationship with James Bond. Now, here's the hard part. I like a couple of the James Bond movies, like, unequivocally. And I'm not about to talk down to them because, you know what? If they can entertain me, that's great. If they can make me laugh, if they can thrill me, if they can inspire a sense of adventure and romance, they've done its job. But I wouldn't necessarily call myself a Bond fan because the character has always been, to say the least, a little bit touch and go with me. In recent years, thanks to the passage of time and whatnot, the more sinister aspects of the character that I didn't agree with have either been, you know, very sort of dampened down or else they've disappeared completely. So when I went into Spectre, I heard that it takes a more old-school approach to the James Bond series, which is good. And I know a couple of people out there have felt somewhat bummed by the more realistic edge of the previous movies. Personally, I loved Casino Royale. Quantum of Solace is completely forgettable, and Skyfall was incredibly stylish, even though it was very low on the action. It still had some great performances, though, as Marcy can well attest.
Your dogs are getting a bit rowdy.
Oh, yeah, it's Daniel Craig, baby. And,
sorry.
Oh, yes. So with Spectre, I personally thought it was fine. It was very entertaining, and there was a lot to appreciate about it. And that's always a good thing, because the last thing you want to do when you go into a James Bond movie is just to sit there and scratch your butt and not be excited by it. Spectre had some fantastic stunts, great action, and personally, I liked the principal cast. Like, I liked the fact that they were given a lot to do, in, well, some more than others, but the fact remains, like, most of the pieces on the chessboard are being moved. I feel, though, the greatest handicap this movie has is the story. It's the script. It was quite lazily written, and I just figure, would it have killed them if they had just, you know, went back a couple of times with a few rewrites and then start to think about making it? I don't know the process of the movie, and quite frankly, it doesn't really interest me, but in comparison to, say, Quantum of Solace, which, as I said, was utterly boring, Spectre is not boring. It's got a steady amount of action just to keep everybody satisfied. But just going back to James Bond and everything, yeah, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of the character, but I love the escapism of the films, and Spectre does that. Yeah, so Spectre to me was a fun time at the movies. It's not the best of the more recent James Bond films, but I still stand by the fact that it definitely does do its job, and I gotta say, the opening titles of Spectre is like a combination of art house and hentai. and I mean that as a positive.
Yeah, it's they're really good. It's a really good credit sequence. It's very different than what they've done with the Craig ones. And I actually quite liked the song too.
Yeah, the Sam Smith song has drawn quite a lot of criticism, and it's little wonder because Smith himself admitted that he wrote the entire thing in about 20 minutes, and that doesn't exactly inspire confidence. It's got nothing on Adele's Skyfall, obviously, but it's not the worst theme I've heard.
No, it's quite, I think it's quite grand, but a slower one, which you kind of got back in the earlier years, yeah. I think.
Oh, definitely, definitely. But if another criticism I have is the fact that Monica Bellucci's character was so serially wasted, and she shouldn't have been. I feel she would have been a very pivotal part of the movie, but I suppose we'll be getting back to that later on the review, so I'll just leave it there.
Yeah, it was kind of, I don't know, kind of felt quite useless, which is a bit disappointing. And I might add, the opening with the Day of the Dead stuff is phenomenal. Like, it's really well done.
Absolutely. That whole opening shot, that's like 7 minutes. 7 minutes of completely uncut and following Bond and his escort through the streets and going into the hotel and him going out the window to start his mission. It is very well done. It's very smooth. It looks amazing.
Yeah,
there's
it looks really,
really
good.
Wrong with it.
Who's next? I believe. Bede
Bond. I mean, sorry, Marcy. Well, I really enjoyed Spectre as well. I think in ways I'm also kind of in the same boat as, you know, Bede. Like, I have watched the Bond films growing up and all that, but I didn't really sort of think I even seen all of them until a couple of years ago. I think probably back when maybe Quantum of Solace was about to come out, so I decided to rewatch all of them. And I've sort of, like, enjoyed a lot of them. But, I mean, I would say how I would compare myself to how I feel about the whole series as well. I would say I'm a moderate fan. I enjoy the films, but I'm not, you know, kind of obsessed about them. But I do enjoy the sort of the Daniel Craig era of the series. And, I mean, I loved both Casino Royale and Skyfall. I thought they were great films. Quantum of Solace was a disappointment, but it was okay. But it could have just been a lot better. And when it comes to Spectre, like, I don't think it's as good as Casino Royale or Skyfall. I think it does suffer from some flaws within it. But at the same time, though, I do think it's still a pretty good film that I was very entertained by. And I think if any issues I do have with the film, it's mainly sort of more on, you know, a script level. Because I feel like, and also for the fact that at almost 2.5 hours, I do feel like the film
could have been a little shorter.
Yeah, I think it's way too long in the tooth, because I think Skyfall was also near the same running time as well. But, you know, there was so much plot in that one that it justified having it at that length. But with Spectre, I don't feel like it really needed to be that long, because I feel like it could have easily have been at least 15-20 minutes shorter.
I think the thing with Bond in general is that the films are quite long, with I think Quantum being the shortest.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, like, a lot of them, even when they're at 2 hours, 10 minutes, you could easily have cut out 10-15 minutes. I think most of them are kind of like that. This one is quite long. I don't think it necessarily needed to be, but I quite enjoyed all the different set pieces and how they kind of led into something else. But I think, again, at the same time, it does feel a lot like the more classic.
Yeah.
Especially, I didn't mention it, on Her Majesty's Secret Service as well.
Yeah.
And up until the Craig films, that one was the longest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's one of the things I did enjoy about the film, is that it does have this sort of, you know, classical Bond feel to it. Like, even more so of the Craig films, because each one sort of, close, as with each film, got closer and closer to that traditional formula. And in a way, it's still an enjoyable film. Like, I do think it's a bit too long, and some of the casts, I think all the casts did a really good job. I have no complaints. Everybody was really good in their roles. I do agree Monica Bellucci was severely wasted, and I was anticipating, you know, it's been a long, I mean, she's been wanting to be a Bond girl for, like, forever, and she wasn't really given much to do here. And also, in terms, one final negative, some of the reveals in the film, which I won't mention because it's spoiler-free, I did feel were very predictable, and I think, in a way, but they were kind of too obvious for me, and I kind of was having kind of flashbacks to another blockbuster from 2 years ago when it came to some of them, but which I won't mention. But in that regard, I still think it's a really good film. It's very well directed. There's some great action set pieces. It looks spectacular. Hoyte van Hoytema. Yeah, that's right. Sorry for that. Yeah, his cinematography was spectacular. It's just visually a fantastic looking film. Some great set pieces. Some really And I was still pretty engaged by the film. I didn't love it as much as Skyfall and Casino Royale, because those are two of my all-time favourite Bond films. But I think as an entry in the series, it's a pretty solid one. Not an amazing one, but still a pretty good and entertaining one.
I've got to say, as far as cinematography, with one of my favourites being Roger Deakins, who did Skyfall, and I think visually that's quite perfect. I wasn't sure this could quite top it, but with someone as talented as he is,
yeah,
I think it looked amazing. And considering he's previously did Interstellar, and that was incredible to look at.
He also did The Fighter, Let the Right One In,
Tinker Tailor, Soldier.
Those
yeah.
were amazingly shot.
Yeah, films. Beautifully. So it looked amazing, that's for sure. And now on to Innes. Chris Innes.
Yeah, look, a little known factor to people that know me is, because to be honest, I don't know a lot of people that knew me many, many years ago. I am probably one of the biggest Bond fans you'll ever meet. I grew up as a very young child watching the films, in particular the Sean Connery era. I read most of the books at a very young age, something that I'm hoping to redo again now that I have them all. And watching these films in particular, as a kid and being fascinated by them and just, the ones that I enjoyed, and over time watching the series develop, has been something very special for me, and it's been something I haven't let known as widely as I would some other franchises. And I know a lot of people will think my opinion on this film is very, very premature, considering, I only just saw it yesterday and it has just opened, particularly in Australia. But this is the film that I've been waiting for a very, very, very long time. This is what I imagined a Bond film to really, to culminate in. Spectre just blew my mind away with expectations that I had, and it raised that even further. To be honest, Bede made mention earlier, people, with certain twists and plots, may seem obvious, but to be honest, if you know as much about Spectre as myself and other film fans that have watched the Connery era films, it's pretty bloody obvious. And to those fans that demanded that Sam Mendes reveal the name of a certain character, I say a big fuck you and go back to the hole you came from. Because if you can't just sit there and keep that secret to yourself and just enjoy the awesomeness that was this, or the spectacle that was this film, then you're a jackass and shouldn't deserve to call yourself a Bond fan. But look, for me in particular, I am a fan of the Connery era. I'm probably the only person I know that is a Lazenby fan, and I haven't seen a Bond film as good as those early ones up until Casino Royale. And Casino Royale, for me, was a very, very personal film. I loved it. And whilst watching it and post-viewing of Casino and since before 2008, I came up with so many theories about where they could take the series, and my mind just jumped straight to, they're going to bring back Spectre, and Blofeld will come back. And so I started to develop all these theories and that kind of was shat upon by Quantum of Solace. But luckily, Spectre gives that film a reason to exist. And, that film could have been a lot better than it was, but sadly it wasn't. But still, Spectre gives it a reason to exist. It also does what very few Bond films ever have done. To be honest, no Bond film has ever done what this has done, and that is given the actor playing him, like his era, full circle and a proper conclusion to the story. And in my mind, despite the fact that the very end credits say James Bond will return, in my mind, this is the end. This is also the end that I'd hoped Bond would have. In saying that little personal rant of my own, I love this film. I thought it was fantastic. I have never been as highly strung or on the edge of my seat or with, you know, goosebumps running down my spine as I was watching this film. In particular, the sequence when Bond attends the first meeting of Spectre and the doors open and a shadowy figure comes out and takes his place and everybody just goes silent and stands for this man. And I was just in absolute awe. I mean, the way it was shot, the cinematography is fantastic, the music, the tone, it's just phenomenal. I mean, a film that opens with, you know, I have to agree with B, it's almost a 7-minute tracking shot of, and this is why it's one of the most expensive films ever made, the second, I believe, it's ranking now, because of that sequence. I mean, to film, to have that much control and planning in the Day of the Dead Mexico sequence was just phenomenal. You know, it's, it really reflects what the Daniel Craig film eras and, you know, the books are really about. And that's why I love this film even more so, because this really, there have been Bond films in the past that have captured the book that they are adapting, be that from Russia with Love, Her Majesty's Secret Service, and Casino Royale, to be honest. They've really captured the spirit of those books, because they have been very, very faithful, and this took the best things of those films and really brought it in. And the message at the beginning of the film is the dead are alive, and that's the big theme for Bond in particular, especially with Daniel Craig eras. You know, this guy has lost, Craig's Bond has lost everybody important to him. You know, he's an orphan, he lost his great love, as a certain character in this film says, the big one, which is Vesper Lynd. He loses M in Skyfall, and so many people, you know, he's a broken man. This is a broken Bond. This is the real Bond from the books, you know. I felt in a way too, even though Tracy Bond was never in this can, in the Craig eras, that there is still some hints, you know, to On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which is one of the most emotionally breaking Bond films I'd ever seen when I was a young kid, and that final image stayed with me for a very long time. In particular, in the books, the way it is written is just so, so heartbreaking, and to see that really translated in a Bond film so well, I just absolutely adored it for that. And you know, everything comes full circle. Everything has a purpose, and everything that Casino Royale started and gave ideas to was really summed up in this film. And it was just perfect. Like, you know, capturing that theme of death, and, you know, Bond's this assassin that will, you know, always take lives, and it does take a toll on him, as, you know, Skyfall showed in particular. And it's a theme that Vesper has brought up with him. But look, just amazing. That title, the opening title song, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's very reflective of, as Marcy said, the very early Bond films, in particular from Russia with Love. I mean, that's when you first hear that, that's like, oh, this is a Bond song? And it wasn't a song that played over the opening credits back in 1963. It was played throughout it, more particularly at the end. But I think Sam Smith did a fantastic job. It's very in the same way as the tone of the film. The opening credits just oozes sex. It was just so damn sexy in a very creepy, slimy, inky way. With that octopus, just, oh, so awesome. Fantastic performances. Look, I know a lot of people are saying certain people didn't get enough screen time or this and that, but I think for their characters, that was enough. It was their part of the film. You know, maybe they could have expanded and whatnot. I know there was issues with the script, but to be honest, I wouldn't really believe everything you hear about the script problems that Sony was having with the script, because with the hack that happened last year, to be honest, I think that's, you know, just people that don't have anything better to do than to, you know, cause strife for other people and just stir shit for the sake of it. But in my mind, you know, a lot of credit in particular to the success of this film in the tone, the direction, the dialogue, and particularly this is why Skyfall is such a success too, is, particularly with the writing, is full credit must go to John Logan, who is just a fantastic writer. He's my favourite Hollywood screenwriter. He just did a fantastic job. And, I mean, look, you know, I know other people had a hand in working on the script bit, rewrites or dropping little things, but at the base of this, it is very much a John Logan story. And Sam Mendes, who was actually the first returning director since Martin Campbell, who made GoldenEye and Casino Royale, is just fantastic. He directs in a very, very similar fashion to Terrence Young and Peter Hunt, who I consider to be two of the best Bond directors of all time. And they were just... He just did a fantastic job, you know. A lot of people have criticised Sam Mendes for being, you know... This is, you know what, making seven or so films, and two of them are big blockbusters. But, you know, as history proves, British filmmakers can come out of nowhere and make, you know, big, fantastic, epic films that will shut up any critic. And he was fantastic. It's a shame he won't be coming back, but like I said, this, in my opinion, I'd be happy with this, the end, because it gave such a fantastic ending and just very... Look, like I said, I know it may seem very premature of me to say this within the last 24 hours of seeing it, but this is what I wanted. This is the film I was waiting for when I was a child. This is the film I was waiting for after seeing Casino Royale. And I know there were steps that needed to happen before this film could happen. One a very big mess, one a huge success, but that's what needed to happen. And look, this is a fantastic film. I loved it.
That it is. Yeah, so does anyone have any last things they want to say about the movie, or?
I believe I do.
Okay.
Now, okay, how do I put this? In terms of the story for Spectre, I felt that it was good that it tried to keep things moving by, you know, moving from place to place and not really dilly-dallying unnecessarily in some places, despite the fact that it is quite a long movie. But when it comes to the third act of the film, that's when I somewhat feel things start to, you know, break apart a little. Like, everything seems to be all over the place. Like, I am all for, like, multifaceted action sequences. Like, especially with, you know, Moneypenny and a couple of other characters, like, doing their own thing. And then you have Bond, who's doing his thing. Towards the end of the movie, things just start to get a little too contrived. Now, I know that's not saying a lot because, you know, it is a James Bond movie, but considering also, like, that the film tended to be tonally somewhat inconsistent. Sometimes it was deadly serious. Other times, it started to take on the more old-school James Bond, like when you're just having a really good time and, you know, nobody's really taking it seriously. So, tonally speaking, Spectre somewhat felt all over the place. It felt like it was all over the place, just like the arms of an octopus, like spraying in the ocean, so to speak. But that's pretty much how I felt. It all just comes back down to this. Down to the script. Like, it's got nothing to do with performances, and basically what the actors were doing were under the behest of the director. So, in all honesty, I feel where Spectre mainly falls apart is the flow of the story and how it manages to try to, you know, grab onto elements and lead on to the next thing. It just felt a little too drawn out in places when it could have been... It would have been more prudent if they had taken a pair of shears and cut it down just a little bit.
I think we've pretty much said that a little bit. Yeah.
In sort of last thoughts for me before we wrap up this review, I do think, like, I think both Daniel Craig and Léa Seydoux, who kind of plays sort of the Bond girl of this film, Madeleine Swann. Is that right, Buzzy?
I think yeah.
I think they're both really good in their roles, but I don't feel... I didn't really feel much of their sort of, I guess, quote-unquote, love story, at least compared to something like, you know...
with Vespa.
Vespa, which I think is probably the most engaging one.
I think they sort of had the same amount of, you know, actual time frame in the time that they kind of spend together and stuff, but I just think in Casino it just was developed a bit better, whereas it sort of just felt a little rushed.
Yeah, and it kind of sort of, even though it's a longer film, it does feel a bit rushed, yeah. I didn't feel, like, it's not to say that they're still really good, I didn't really sort of buy that sort of love story between them. But one thing I did really, and I was going to say, as a positive, I really like that they actually did more with James Bond's team, like M and Q and Moneypenny. They're actually, instead of just being on the sidelines, they're actually given a lot more to do. I mean, even Q's out in the field, like helping out. Like, when has that ever happened before? And I mean, it probably has in one of the films.
License to Kill.
Okay, well, I've been proven.
Thunderball.
All right, well, it has been years since I've seen the movie, so you can't
forget. Tomorrow never dies.
Okay, you've proven my point. I mean, at least, you know, seeing more of the team, getting more to do, rather than, you know, just appearing on screen for 5 seconds and then not coming back until the end of the film. Like, that's one of the things I sort of like about the film, because it had that sort of more of team dynamic and M sort of leading the charge back home. Like, he knows something's going on, and so since Bond's not there, he has to sort of do something about it. And that's one of the things I sort of really, really liked about the film overall. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all. Oh, and the title sequence, which I did like, but all I kept thinking the entire time was tentacle porn. That's just what I kept thinking the entire time. I was like, and it was like, I felt really weird and awkward. So, but that's just me though. But that's pretty much all I have to say about Spectre. Marcy.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, it would easily be probably in my top 10, because I really enjoyed it a lot. I think I'll enjoy it again, despite its issues, you know. It's a great movie, but again, even the worst Bond movie I still enjoy on some level. And it's a franchise I'll always enjoy and like, but, you know, each movie does have its issues, and of course, I don't like a lot of the portrayal of the women, and especially in the early years, how they just throw away. And it has matured a lot, which I think is kind of a shame. Like, Monica Bellucci was just so underused. But yeah, I think Bond has grown a lot through the years, but they're still fun. And this was a good fun. Yeah. So yeah.
And like, if Daniel Craig does come back for a fifth film, but even if he doesn't, I feel like Chris said, this kind of Spectre does work as a closure to at least his era of the franchise. Yeah. So, whether he comes back or not, I'm not sure, but even if he doesn't, like, it just works as, because like Chris said, it sort of brings the series full circle, and it does, and it's a very satisfying ending for this era, if you know, Craig doesn't come back.
I do feel, though, that the character played by Christoph Waltz... Look, I love Christoph Waltz. Like, the moment he steps on screen, I am immediately drawn to him. But I felt with his character of Oberhauser, he was somewhat underused. Like, he's meant to be the big bad of James Bond's life. He is the one who has basically taken everything that Bond holds dear and just rips it away from him. And finally, when we see him, it's great to see Waltz on screen and just to sort of soak in his presence, but you never really get the feeling that he lives up to the menace that he portrays. Like, when you have a big character like this, you have a sense of promise. Like, it's something that you expect to see. Necessarily, I didn't really see anything to really physically make Oberhauser imposing. Like, it's like he's talked about all of his great achievements, and he's like, hey, Mr. Bond, I'm here in your life to make your life really, really shitty. Ha ha. But for the time that we see him, he doesn't do anything particularly particularly dastardly. Like, obviously, there is one sequence, and I won't spoil it here, in which he really does put Bond in a very precarious position. But even then, he's not really delivering on the promise of being the malevolent and, you know, malevolent creature that he's supposed to be. But once again, I feel that falls more on the rushness of the script. Like, if they've given more time to give these characters more expansion and more to play with, this would have been one of the, you know, the topper tier sort of James Bond movies.
No, I think, to be honest, with a character such as Oberhauser, and for anyone with a brain out there, you've figured out who he is already. Or know who we're really talking about. When you look back at, like, in particular from Russia with Love, Thunderball, you know this character doesn't need anything particular to be very menacing, very, you know, he's... And that same character was given very brief screen time even in the early films. He doesn't need a big show. He doesn't particularly need any to do anything. He's just there to sit, watch, and you know that people are scared of this man. He doesn't need to, you know, hold a gun. He doesn't need to do, you know, in this film he does, he is a little bit more active in some scenes, not too much, but just enough to, you know, prove a point. But that was the genius of this character, and it's kind of the same in the books as well. You know, he didn't have to do anything. He just sat there. He was very gentlemanly like, and I think that's what people, I think a lot of people are afraid of that with Waltz. You know, you see an actor like this who, you know, his two famous roles are very exuberant, flairful characters, and this is something very stoic and very calm and quiet.
I like that it was.
Yeah, it's much more subdued.
And that's the thing. People will, and this is one of two type of things that I'm going to say about why people are going to be thrown from this film, because, you know, again, they're not used to seeing Waltz like this. They're used to seeing him really good in a very bad film, or very, and again, still very colourful, and very, very, you know, the same in a very, two very, very good films. But this is something different. This is him very calm, cool, and collective, and, you know, more like, you know, the snake waiting for its prey patiently, you know. There's a quote from that was used in, from Russia with Love, where he makes a very similar thing, you know, that's when Spectre strikes. You know, we wait. He's comparing with the Siamese fighting fish, you know, and they wait whilst the two superpowers are fighting one another, and when one wins, whoever's the weakest, that's when Spectre strikes. Spectre waits to know when to strike. But the other thing that will probably turn a lot of people, you know, be like, ooh, about this film is because, like many great closing films, in particular The Dark Knight Rises and Return of the Jedi, they're films that close, you know, bring a trilogy full circle. And I mean, I like to think of this as a trilogy, but still, you know, it's a quadrilogy in a way with the Craig films. It brings a story full circle, and there are very, 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 very few films that bring a film full circle that get the recognition that they deserve, because, you know, in the cases of the Dark Knight trilogy and the original Star Wars films, those Jedi and Rises were preceded by films that people loved. They loved them then, and they still love them and praise them now. And Skyfall fell into that category of being a film that is, you know, many people would say is untouchable, it's perfect. How the hell are they going to follow that up? And that's Spectre's problem, is that it's living in that shadow of people just saying, oh, you know, this is going to be this. It's not going to be as good as that. And that's what so many people have been saying in the build-up to the film, and even now, when I think people need to, you know, and it's going to be very hard for people to get out of that whack, because that's just, you know, the way people are and the way cinema can go. But, you know, again, this is probably the third film franchise I've seen that does give a very perfect full-circle closure. And it's just people aren't used to seeing that, because, you know, they're used to something like Lord of the Rings and Matrix, where it's just very bloated and they drag it out, and, you know, there could be another and this and that. Was it this, you know, and the Nolan's films and, you know, the Lucas's masterpieces have all been like, no, this is an ending of the story. I mean, I know with Star Wars they've continued that but that was the ending of a certain journey, and it's the same here. This is the end of the journey that Casino Royale started for Daniel Craig, and I think people have just got to, you know, come into it not expecting another Skyfall, you know, because these films are not going to be what came before or after them. You know, you've got to take it for what it is. Love it, hate it, whatever your opinion is, but don't try and sound as smart as you think you are by talking about something that you may not fully understand, because I've heard a few people being persuaded by others that think they know what they're talking about when they don't particularly, you know, be that, you know, and I say this, you know, I may say this, I'm sorry, I may seem very cocky saying this because of my background with the Bond books and franchise, you know, but that's the truth, you know, if you don't have a basic understanding of not only the source material, but just accepting a film for what it is. I know I tried to do that with Quantum. I tried to tell myself it was a good film, and that film was ruined before I saw it because I made the ultimate mistake that I would never do, which is listen to the opening title song. And I convinced myself for a very, very long time that it was a good film, and it wasn't. But, you know, I like it a little bit more now because it has given Spectre has given it a purpose. And that's what I loved about this film. You know, it gave one of my worst, you know, and it made me move Quantum from my least favourite up to, I think, my number 20 on my list.
I think it would have a new perspective watching all four of them. Yeah.
But, look, just go in and enjoy this as a film and then come out with your own opinions, but don't be someone that's going to be, oh, this will never be as good. You know, I don't think it's very fair to this film to be compared to something else. Because that's the problem. And it's not just with film franchises. It's usually, like, you know, the other example is Nicholas Winged in Refn's Only God Forgives. People are expecting another Drive. Don't go into a film like this, be it the same, you know, be it a franchise film or a film following a very successful film by another director. Don't go in expecting the same thing as you come before, because you're just an idiot. And you're going to sound like an idiot when you're trying to talk about it or persuade other idiots into thinking that they know what they're talking about when they don't. And that's what's going to hurt this film. And look, you know, I apologize if I sound extremely cocky, but that's the truth. And that's it. Look, again, I love this film. This is what I was hoping for. You know, maybe upon rewatching I will be a little bit more nitpicky, but as I am with most of my favourites, but look, this was fucking amazing.
Alrighty. I guess we'll do ratings. 4.5 out of 5 from me. B?
4 out of 5.
Bead?
3.5.
And Chris.
I don't think I really need to explain this, but yeah, I'm giving a 5 out of 5.
Oh, I thought it was 1 out of 5. this is meant to be an audio review, but I think it's become a podcast because we're at the 45-minute mark. If anyone hadn't noticed.
Sorry.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. You can just find us at supermarcy.com. Look us up on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. All the info is on the post. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining, everyone. And until next time, don't do anything I wouldn't do. Bye.
See you, everyone.